This episode is brought to you in part by June's Journey. Picture it, the glamour of the roaring 20s wrapped in a mystery that only you can solve. Dive into June Parker's captivating quest to uncover scandalous family secrets. With your keen eye for detail, find hidden clues and solve mind-boggling puzzles. It's all about observation, intrigue, and drama. But beware. Each clue leads deeper into a thrilling storyline filled with danger and romance. June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. You hear that? That's the sound of another sale with Shopify, your go-to for selling everywhere. Online, in-store, and even on social media. Shopify POS is like the central hub for your retail operation. From payments to inventory, it's all there. Got different gadgets? No worries. Shopify's hardware is adaptable, fitting just how you do business. Start transforming your retail business with an incredible offer. A trial for just $1 per month at shopify.com/wondery, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/wondery. Take the leap and upgrade your point-of-sale solution with Shopify. Visit shopify.com/wondery and start your trial today.
If you grew up anywhere near Newark, New Jersey, then you probably know about the White Lady Tree. Maybe you've even seen it while driving through the dangerously dark, curvy roads of Branch Brook Park. And if you're brave, and especially if you're a teenager, then maybe you've taken a drive there deep into the night, when the tree becomes more than just a tree. It becomes a portal. And I know what you're thinking about the White Lady Tree. It's not that kind of white lady. This tree, it's sinister. It's, well, you'll find out. I didn't grow up in New Jersey, and while my soul is young, you might have guessed that I'm not a teenager. But my daughter was a teenager not too long ago. And we moved to New Jersey for our last 2 years of school when I had a gig across the bridge in New York. And if there's anything about high school that I remember, it's that it's a really cruel and a really emotional time. It's the time of your life when you fall in love at the drop of a dime and do just about anything to get your heart beating rapidly. You'll drive too fast, ingest things you shouldn't ingest, follow your friends to the end of the earth, and you'll go out of your way to purposefully scare the hell out of yourself. When my daughter was in high school in New Jersey, not too far from Newark, well, three of her friends did just that. They took a late night trip into a dimly lit park to see the White Lady Tree and the ghost that haunts it. You're listening to Run Fool. I'm Rodney Barnes. This is episode 23, The White Lady Tree. You know that feeling when you know you should shut up? When you know you're spitting out words that nobody cares about? And it's making you look stupid, but you can't stop anyway. Well, Zubair was feeling that way right then. He was in the back seat of his friend's sleek SUV, and his mouth simply would not stop talking. It was like his vocal cords were holding a shovel and digging him deeper and deeper into a hole. And this hole was about Game of Thrones.
Bran's storyline makes no sense if you think about it. We hear over and over from Jojen Reed and the Three-Eyed Raven that he's the most important thing in this whole scenario.
Zubair knew he should stop. He knew the people in the front seat. Aaron and his girlfriend, Dawn, were doing their best to not look at each other and laugh. At him. He could literally see it in the way Dawn's face muscles were struggling to look serious and interested. Like her cheeks were fighting her brain. Like she was sucking on a dozen Sour Patch Kids while nodding her head. Uh-huh, Zubair. But Zubair kept spewing out words anyway.
And Jon Snow goes out of his way to protect his precious little brother. But in the end, does Bran even do anything?
It was 12:30 and they were driving on a dark highway towards Newark. They'd been on the road for 20 minutes, left straight from the high school prom, a cheesy thing held at the school's gymnasium. their ultimate destination was an after-party at some soccer player's house, where 100 kids would be drinking and smoking and hugging each other aggressively. They were seniors, after all, about to depart childhood and head out into the world, or into college anyway. But the after-party was in the complete opposite direction. Dawn, in the front passenger seat, looked like she wanted to rip Zubair's head off. "Zubair, stop talking about Game of Thrones for a second," she said. Zubair leaned back in his seat, almost relieved that her humiliating demand got him to stop. Dawn felt bad immediately after saying it, and the car went silent for a moment. Aaron and Dawn were a couple now, but there was a time when the three of them were an inseparable three amigos. They'd been classmates since kindergarten, grew up making poop jokes, watching Shaun of the Dead and Josie and the Pussycats, going on adventures in tiny suburban forests. But a couple years ago, Aaron and Dawn had a glow-up. Aaron grew pecs, and Dawn shaved her head and started kickboxing. When they walked down the hall, kids noticed them. But not Zubair. He still watched the same movies, still got ignored by other kids, in and out of school. The coolest thing about him was his White Walkers t-shirt. He didn't even have a date for the prom. At least the one girl he asked was nice about saying no. Zubair was sure that Aaron and Dawn asked him to join them out of pity. But that was better than not asking him, right? They even gave him a ride. And then Zubair got overzealous, like he always does. He had this stupid, nostalgic idea of going back to the good old days. Back when they were kids and liked to scare themselves silly. More specifically, the stupid idea he had was to go see the White Lady Tree. One of those places they used to talk about during sleepovers. A tree in a nearby park that had the shape of a woman pressed into its bark. It was one of those stories that got passed around kid to kid over generations. So-and-so's older sister hears about it from her cousin, who heard it from her friend back in the 90s, who heard it from their friend in the 60s. Zubair first heard about the White Lady Tree from his older brother. Aaron turned off the highway at the Newark exit. Zubair saw him look at the clock and shake his head, and he regretted even more his suggestion to have one last scary adventure. They'd gone out of their way to give him a ride to prom with them and walked into the gymnasium with him. They even called him over to dance with them. But of course, he just waved and smiled. "I'm good." He wanted to join them, but didn't think he could pull it off without looking awkward. Anyway, he knew they didn't really want to dance with him, not with all their new, cool friends around. They just wanted to offer. He guessed that was good enough. But when given an inch, Zubair always takes a mile. Dawn pulled him aside after AP Chem the other day and said, "Why don't you come with us to prom?" He got overexcited about being the three amigos again. And by the time they picked him up on prom night, he had this whole plan formulated. He got in Aaron's car and said, "We should go see the White Lady Tree after prom." He knew that the only reason they said yes was because he looked so excited about it. He could tell immediately that they didn't want to go, that they had other plans, but he didn't have the kind of social graces that allowed him to casually change his mind. And they clearly felt sorry enough for him to go along with his dumb plan. So here they were, dressed to the nines, turning off the highway into Newark and heading towards Branch Brook Park. Aaron, of course, looked badass in his perfectly fitting tuxedo that showed off his muscular shoulders. Dawn's back tattoo perfectly complemented her single strap dress. Meanwhile, clothes never looked right on Zubair, and his ill-fitting tux hung off him like a burlap sack. Zubair still remembered when his big brother told him the story of the White Lady Tree. He was 13 years old, and his brother was a much more experienced 16. They were in the backyard playing Pandemic when Zubair did something annoying and his brother chased him behind a tree. When Zubair came back around, he saw his brother staring at it. He asked Zubair if he'd ever heard of the White Lady Tree. A bunch of juniors were talking about it recently, and he'd snuck his way into the conversation. "There's a tree at Branch Brook Park in Newark, and the tree is haunted by the ghost of a dead bride. Her shape can even be seen in the trunk of the tree. It's looked like that for decades. She died there, on her wedding day. And if you go there late enough at night, turn off your car lights and your flashlights and phones. You'll see her. See the ghost. She wears a white dress, and her name is Mary Yuhu. Before she appears, you hear her. Yuhu. And if you do hear that Yuhu, you better run. Because Mary Yuhu isn't just scary sounds. Zubair's brother heard that Mary Yuhu likes to take teenagers. She's been doing it for decades. She draws them in with her siren song and then snatches them away to join her in a timeless limbo, where they spend every torturous moment in service to her. And once they're snatched, they never get unsnatched. From that day on, they belong to her.
If you're like me and can still recognize Mr. Brightside from the first note, and then can't resist screaming it at the top of your lungs, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. While Multi-Active Cream can't bring back the golden age of boy bands, it can de-stress your skin. Clarins Multi-Active Cream is available online now. Go to clarins.com/truecrime and get Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME. clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aaron drove straight onto 4th Street and they passed an old splintery sign that said, Branch Brook Park. They entered the park through a stone gate and rolled onto an old asphalt road. Suddenly, Dawn said, Stop. Aaron pulled over underneath a flickering streetlight, which might have been the last functioning light in the park. Because when Zubair looked ahead, all he could see were a few outlines of trees and darkness, just like he hoped. Why are we stopping? Zubair asked. Dawn said they should turn around and just go to the after party. They were already running so late. But Zubair spoke up. Seeing the true darkness of the park in front of them made him resolute. Like the little kid in him had taken over his mind. No, he said. This is our last chance to do something like this. Let's not pass it up. Zubair saw Dawn and Aaron share a look that said, Let's just let him have this. But the darkness had changed Zubair. He didn't care what they thought anymore. All he wanted now was to see the tree. Aaron put the car in drive but moved forward slowly. The blacktop road was sinuous and cracked, covered in fallen tree limbs, and sometimes it was hard to tell which way it would curve until right before it did. On each side of the road were ancient cherry trees, oaks, and maples, lording over grass that didn't seem to have been mowed in years. There were a few park benches with broken slats. They passed an old statue of what could have been a soldier from the Revolutionary War. Something crawled across the road and Aaron hit the brakes. It was dark and furry and limped along. It stopped and looked at the car, but didn't seem to view them as a threat. It was hard to tell if it was a groundhog or an opossum or a skunk. It was like this darkness had sapped the headlight's ability to illuminate. The animal moved on, and so did they. As Aaron inched the car deeper into the park, Zubair told them the full story of the White Lady Tree. He did his best to repeat exactly what his brother told him years back. The light hum of the engine and the black and empty park around them made for an appropriately eerie backdrop for the tale. It was 1946, and a young couple named Mary and Chester had just gotten married in the town of Kenilworth, New Jersey. They were childhood sweethearts who had grown up together, kind of like Aaron and Don. They got together early in high school and were still together when Chester went off to fight in the war. He came back a different person. It wasn't just the limp from being shot in the leg or the way his face had aged 20 years. Chester brought home a new rage, a kind of rage that Mary had never seen in him before. Chester went from downright sappy before the war to bitter and angry after. Mary couldn't forget the old Chester, though, and their lives were so entangled by then, their families united. And though Chester didn't seem to care about love or anything else, she married him. The wedding was more like a wake, despite all their family and friends being in the room. The plan was to go straight to the honeymoon from the reception, to drive north through the night to a modest resort in upstate New York. Chester drank too much at the reception, another memento he took home from France, but he insisted on driving anyway. It was his Mercury sedan, he said, not hers, and he knew a shortcut, through Newark and Branch Brook Park. Mary didn't want to go that way because she knew how curvy the roads in the park were and how dark. When they were younger, they'd laugh when they took the hard turns and almost roll onto two wheels. But now, Chester insisted on taking that road that used to be fun through the park. And Mary wasn't having fun. Chester was driving too fast through the park, unburdened by alcohol or fear. The tires screeched as he took on an almost U-shaped bend. Mary told him to slow down, but he wouldn't. His face was focused, desperate, determined. They passed a fountain with a stone peacock adorning the spout. The road appeared to continue straight. But then, without warning, it bent almost 90 degrees to the right. Chester turned the giant steering wheel of his Mercury as hard as he could, but the tires couldn't keep up. The car slid furiously off the road, and as it did, Chester and Mary saw a large oak tree appear almost out of nowhere. The car hit the oak so hard that Mary was thrown completely out. When Chester came to, hours later, his left arm was broken, his head covered in dried blood. By then, a passerby had seen the smashed-up Mercury and some of the police. An officer told Chester he was lucky to be alive. Suddenly sober and afraid, Chester asked about Mary, his wife. The officer looked at him funny. They didn't find anyone else. The woods weren't exactly dense. It was just Chester, the shattered Mercury, and the tree. So Mary's body was never found? Don asked Zubair. They only found Chester. His brother had told Zubair, and Zubair told Don and Aaron. From that 1946 day on, Mary was considered missing, and she was never seen again, at least not in the flesh. Only Chester knew what had really happened. He had to be taken from the scene forcefully, screaming, "Mary, Mary!" And ever since then, that tree, the one they hit, was stamped with an image on his trunk, the shape of a lady in white, the bride. And also ever since then, the ghost known as Mary Yoo-Hoo had haunted the park. Aaron wasn't going to make the same mistake as Chester. He drove even slower. It was completely dark now, outside of the weak range of the headlights ahead of them. They saw the old peacock fountain at the side of the road, now covered in thick woody vines. And Zubair knew they were really close now. Aaron's foot was barely kissing the gas pedal, the car coasting at a couple miles an hour. And then, finally, there it was. The headlights pointed directly at a large oak tree. Right at eye level, in the trunk, was a perfect silhouette of a lady in a white dress. Zubair was excited. The legend his brother had told him was true. The image in the trunk shone off the bark, like a single-color painting. It almost looked like the bride was twirling, still dancing at her own depressing wedding. Anne pulled the car into the grass, leaving the engine idling and his headlights pointed at the white lady tree. Dawn went to open her door, but Zubair grabbed her shoulder. He said, "You can't go out with the lights on. The ghosts won't appear. No phones either." Dawn looked at Aaron, who looked back at Zubair. Zubair was serious. Aaron nodded. He'd heard the story and knew the rules. No lights, no phones. Zubair took out his Android. No text, of course. He shut it down and watched as Aaron and Dawn did the same with their phones. Aaron sat there for a moment longer and then turned off the headlights. They were now sitting in complete black, except for a hint of something that peeked through the darkness, the white image on the tree. They got out of the car. It was chilly for a summer night. Zubair loosened the collar of his tuxedo shirt. Though he could barely see the others, he smirked at how weird it was that they were in their fancy prom gear. They walked towards the tree, slowly, hearing the crunch of grass and sticks under their shoes. Dawn and Aaron were a step behind. Zubair noticed that they were following his lead. Who was cool now? When they were all right in front of the white lady tree, Zubair reached his hand out and felt the trunk, lightly at first. His fingers caressed the white silhouette. It was smooth, like dried paint. He rubbed the white lady's shoulders, her elbow, her hands and fingers. He traced the edges of the bride with his fingers. It was almost sensual. At first, Aaron and Dawn just watched, a bit bewildered by what their old friend was doing. But then they joined in. They felt the white lady. It was, after all, the only thing they could see. And soon they were all giggling, like they had as kids, when they shared a tent and told ghost stories and instructed the others to be silent before farting as loud as possible. They were 10 years old again and loving every second of it. Something about being out in the dark late at night touching a spooky tree, it felt somehow subversive. Zubair, most of all, felt transferred back in time to when they were closer than siblings, when they were the three amigos and nothing could tear them apart. And then something sliced into their moment. It almost sounded like the wind at first, like a distant whistle. But then it got closer and louder and clearer. Mary Yoo-Hoo was with them. Zubair felt it. He took his hand off the tree and looked around. He saw nothing, almost literally, but she kept getting closer. Yoo-Hoo. Aaron and Dawn had each taken one of Zubair's arms. He was now their protector, even though either of them could easily take him in a fight. Here, in this pitch-black park, he was the strong one. All of a sudden, he was the one glowing up, and Zubair was happy. Something caught Zubair's eye, a slight break in the darkness. He could now see more oak trees behind the white lady tree. Something was illuminating them. He squinted, but all he could see was a faint white haze. A faint white haze. His smile fattened. The haze got less faint, and it grew into a form. The form of a woman in a white dress. A bride. It was Mary Yoo-Hoo. She was walking towards them through the trees, but her feet weren't touching the ground, but gliding over it. Her movements were inhumanly slow, yet she was soon right in front of them. A ghost. A human ghost. Her dress was splattered with blood from the crash, her face deformed, her arms bent in unnatural ways. She smiled in an apparent attempt at a greeting, and her mouth was harshly crooked and her teeth broken. Zubair could now see Aaron and Dawn, lit by the aura of Mary Yoo-Hoo. They were frozen in place, too scared to move. Zubair felt different, calm. He was newly emboldened by their shared adventure. He was already imagining them laughing about it, telling and retelling this story for the rest of their lives. Their lives. Lives that would be shared and entangled once again. He wasn't scared. He was elated. Mary Yuhu examined the three teenagers. Her ghostly hands, bent and bloody, touched them like they had touched her form in the tree. Zubair felt her silky fingertips run over his stomach, his neck, his cheeks, and he watched them do the same to Aaron and Dawn. Mary, too, looked happy, like she'd found what she was looking for. And Zubair knew then that what Mary Yuhu wanted was him. She was a bride without a groom, and she wanted him to fulfill that role so she could finally have the happy marriage she was denied all those years ago. After decades of haunting this park, auditioning teenage suitors who visited just for the scare, she found one who was worthy. Worthy of filling the shoes of her one-time love, Chester, who went off to war and never really came back. And in his tuxedo, Zubair was dressed for the part. Zubair felt more powerful than he ever had in his entire life. He'd been chosen. Him, the guy who didn't know when to shut up, couldn't lift a weight or shoot a basketball. He didn't know exactly what it meant for Mary Yuhu to choose him, but he knew he wanted it. He closed his eyes and opened his arms to welcome the ghost, to allow her to take her new groom. But he felt her move away, felt her spectral touch withdraw. Zubair opened his eyes and saw her reaching for Aaron. Aaron, who could fill out a tux, who did know when to shut up, who could lift a weight and shoot a basketball. Mary Yuhu enveloped Aaron, who was too frightened to move. Her misty arms took hold of him, and then she took his hand in hers. He tried to resist. He tried to call for Dawn, but she too was powerless. Mary walked Aaron towards the tree. From down on his knees, and with tears in his eyes, Zubair shouted, "No!" Begged the ghost to take him. Mary stopped, turned to Zubair, looked him up and down, and shook her head. And then she took Aaron into the tree, and they were gone. That's the story my daughter heard. It's one of those legends, like the story of Mary and Chester and the White Lady tree itself, that's been passed around high schools across northern New Jersey. My daughter knew Zubair and Aaron and Dawn. And when Aaron went missing that night and never returned, people had questions. Questions that over time were answered by hearsay and rumors. Rumors that got crazier and crazier until you didn't know what to believe. But some facts are undeniable and can be seen with your own eyes. My daughter's own two eyes visited Dawn in the institution. Dawn's hair had grown long and raggy, her face aged and defeated. If she ever kickboxed again, she did it against a padded wall. And she would only utter two words, "My Aaron." But Mary Yuhu seems to be content with her new groom. The ghost can no longer be conjured by teenagers looking for a laugh. The city straightened the road and cut down the tree. The White Lady tree is now nothing but a stump and root. As for Zubair, my daughter said he dropped out of school. She heard he spends his nights camped out in Branch Brook Park, waiting to see Mary again. Run Fool is a production of Ballin Studios, Campside Media, and At Will Media. It is hosted and executive produced by me, Rodney Barnes. This episode was written by Sean Revive and produced by Abakar Adan and Leave Mengistu. Editing by Abakar Adan. Sound director, designer, and mixer is Kevin Seaman. Creature vocalization by Colette Anderson and artwork by Jessica Clarkston Kiner. Production support by Jeremy Bone and Cole Lacasio. Special thanks to our operations team, Doug Slaywin, Ashley Warren, Sabina Mara, and Destiny Dingle. Executive producers at Ballin Studios are Mr. Ballin, Nick Witters, and Zach Levitt. Executive producers at Will Media are Will Malnati and Rosie Guerin. Executive producers at Campside Media are Matt Scher, Josh Dean, Vanessa Gregoriadis, and Adam Hoff. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.